What would you think if I told you that sometimes I hear the voice of God? Would you associate me with crazy people? People who hear voices? Would you think I'd gone over the edge and become some kind of evangelical Christian receiving a message? Well, what would you think if I told you that I think that you should hear God's voice also? We have to kind of ask ourselves, do we really believe that God speaks? Do we really believe that God contacts us? You've got two possible scenarios. One is that for the first 4,000 years of our history as a race, as mankind, God communicated with us. And then 2,000 years ago, he stopped. Or you can believe, you can understand that God continues today to talk to us. Not just through the recorded word of what he said before in the past, but through personal and private means. I want to start with the first verse we look at is in Job chapter 33, because Elihu says something to Job that really struck me. Job 33 verse 14, reading it from the NIV, it says, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." I think that's the point. Though man may not perceive it, God does speak. Not always audibly, not always even through words. He speaks one way now and one way in a different time. It's not comfortable in our culture to consider yourself hearing voices, to consider yourself being spoken to by God. It's much more acceptable to approach our relationship with our Heavenly Father as at arm's length, to relegate God's instructions to simply this written word. Even if we do feel sometimes that clearly God is trying to send us a message, we tend to close off our hearts to those thoughts. This is what the Jews were warned about in Hebrews chapter 4. They warned about this same thing, this closing off the heart to what God has to say. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Is this verse speaking just to the Hebrews just 2,000 years ago, or does this verse speak to us? Do not harden your heart to the voice of God. Open yourself up. Open yourself up to receive the message that God has for us. We consider our Lord Jesus Christ to be at the right hand of God and to share in God's purpose and to share in God's thoughts. And I think one of the most convincing arguments for hearing that voice comes from Jesus himself. Turn with me to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the flock. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief and a robber." John chapter 10, verse 2. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If we truly are sheep of the Good Shepherd, if we truly consider ourselves followers of Jesus, then Jesus says we have to know his voice. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about how we can come to know that voice, how we can come to hear it. That's why I wanted to start off with Habakkuk chapter 2, because I think the first couple of verses of Habakkuk are a good starting point, a good place for us to look at. If you want to look at it again, Habakkuk chapter 2, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Habakkuk says, I will climb up into my watchtower now and wait to see what the Lord will say to me and how he will answer my complaint. And the Lord said to me, write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so a runner can read it and tell everyone else. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. From this example here in Habakkuk, from other places in Scripture, and from my own practical experience, I have pieced together some keys to hearing the voice of God. And I want to share with you four things. The first thing, key number one, and this is the important part, to really understand how God speaks to us. Because I don't think it's like we're familiar in the Bible. I don't think you're laying in bed at night and you hear a voice that says, Gordon, and you say, what? You know, I don't think you're on an island abandoned and a vision comes into your head and the voice speaks to you and tells you, write this down. But I do believe that God does speak to us. And I believe that God's voice comes in your heart. And it sounds like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. So our key number one is when you tune into God's voice, you have to tune in to spontaneity. And that's really weird and it's really confusing. And I want to spend some time and try to make sure you understand what I'm saying. This is, I think, what makes it so difficult. And this is why so often it seems like you are just thinking these things on your own. Like there's something that's just coming into your own thoughts. I think that God's voice comes to us as spontaneous thoughts, as visions, as feelings, and impressions. As an example, it's happened to me, and maybe it's happened to some of you. Haven't you ever had the experience of just driving? You're driving down the road, maybe a path you take a lot, or commuting to work, or just on a long, you know, boring stretch of the five, and you have a thought that comes into your head to pray for someone. A specific person, not just a general, you know, I need to pray more often, but this is a specific thought that says, wow, she really needs me to pray, and you pray. And I think it's fair to say that that is God calling us to pray for that individual. And we acknowledge that fact when we learn later on that that person was having a struggle. And that person did start to feel encouraged after we prayed. So my question to you is, what did God's voice sound like as you drove in your car? You didn't really hear God speaking to you, did you? It's not an inner audible voice. It's more of a spontaneous thought that lit upon your mind. Something that you had no reason for it to be there, but it appears. And I think that's how God communicates to us. Our goal as followers of Him is to learn to tune in to that spontaneity. To think and live on a higher, more spiritual plane, so that we're more aware of God's working around us and more attuned to those kind of thoughts, those visions, those impressions. To not think that it's just some random thing or that your mind is wandering or that you're daydreaming, but to open yourself up to the possibility that it's God trying to get a message through to you. I think that kind of leads us to the second key. I think the second key to hearing God's voice is to learn to still your own thoughts and emotions so that you can sense this flow of God's thoughts and emotions within you. Look what Habakkuk says in verse 1. He says, I will climb up into my watchtower and wait and see what the Lord will say. Habakkuk knew that in order to hear God's quiet inner thoughts, he had to first go to a quiet place and to be still and to quiet his own thoughts and his own emotions and all the things that go on in his day and the things that fill his head. Maybe that's why God doesn't speak to us very often, right? Because our heads are so full. You think about it this way, I think in Psalm 46 comes out in a whole new light where God says, be still and know that I am the Lord. There is a deeper inner knowing in our heart that each of us can experience when we quiet our flesh, when we quiet our minds. There are several simple ways to quiet yourself so you can more readily pick up on what God wants for you. David talks often about meditating all the day. Meditating is something that is just not a common part of our Christian experience, and I think we lack because of that. I think if we could spend more time just quieting ourselves down and just being, not being busy and not thinking about lots of other things, but just being quiet, we allow God a chance to speak. Showing your love to God through a quiet worship song is also, I think, a very effective means of becoming attuned to God. We've been reading recently about David and his early years with Saul. Did you notice that when David played what were, I assume, psalms on his harp, that the evil spirit would leave Saul and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him? The same was true of Elisha. Take a look, if you want, at 2 Kings 3, verse 15. 2 Kings 3, verse 15. Elisha says, now bring me a minstrel. Bring me someone who can play the harp. And while the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. Elisha knew it was time for him to get attuned to God. It was time for him to quiet what was going on in his life and to pay attention to what God wanted. And he asked for someone to come to play the harp. Anytime that you become still and are poised before God, you open yourself up to God's thoughts. I'm sure that many of you find that time right here in the memorial service. This provides an excellent opportunity for us to be quiet before the Lord. And I'm sure like me, during the memorial service, people have come into your heart. People have come into your thoughts on Sunday morning. You feel compelled to reach out to them during the week. I've made notes, and I see some of you jot things down where you'll be something in the exhortation or just the quietness of being here, the prayers, the hymns, the Bible readings. And all of a sudden you'll say, oh, I really need to give him a call, follow up on that. This process is, obviously, it's very open. It's not a clear thing. I'm obviously can't be dogmatic about it because it's going to be different for everyone. But it's meant, I think, to be as this open process. If thoughts come to you of things you've forgotten to do, then simply write them down and dismiss them out of your head. Don't let them fill up your head. Just make a note and say, okay, I'll deal with that on Monday. If thoughts of guilt or thoughts of unworthiness come to your mind, then just repent thoroughly, right then. Receive the washing of the blood of the Lamb and put on the robe of righteousness and see yourself spotless before the presence of God. Take that opportunity to clear your heart. This is very important that we become still and properly focused if we're going to open ourselves up to the Word of God. If you're not still, often you just end up receiving your own thoughts and not God's. And if you're not properly focused on Jesus, you won't receive what God intends you to receive. Because you'll think about, we tend to think about that which we have our eyes fixed upon. And if we have our eyes fixed upon our Lord or upon Jesus, then we're properly focused. But if we're thinking about other things, we're not going to be. God told Jeremiah in verse 29, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29, verse 13. "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It's not like media. It's not like messages pouring down upon you and it's all you can do to stop receiving 60 a minute. When God speaks to you, it's a quiet, small voice. And for you to hear it, for you to find God, it requires you to seek Him with all your heart. It requires you to put your energy and your effort into being quiet and just listening. God says the same thing to Moses in Deuteronomy 4. He says in Deuteronomy 4:29, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Those aren't phrases He's using. Those are instructions. Look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then you'll find Him. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And if we do so, we'll be able to hear what God wants us to hear. Quite simply, this is accomplished by quietly worshiping our God alone and in a quiet place, and then receiving out of the stillness that follows. Concentrate and focus yourself on something holy and something godly, and then be quiet afterwards and sit and wait. There's another step, though. You can't ignore this next step. Step 3, pray. Fixing your eyes on Jesus and praying. Remember how Habakkuk said, "I will wait and see how the Lord will answer me," and how God told him to record that vision. When Habakkuk prayed, he expected answers. Look at this scenario. I mean, you tell your wife, "Okay, I'm going to go out in the backyard and I'm going to pray. I'll be in a bit." And you go out in the backyard and you pray to God and you wait for Him to answer. Notice that's really what Habakkuk is doing. He was going to wait until he could see how the Lord had answered him. He actually started looking for God's answer even as he prayed. He was opening the eyes of his heart and looking for God to speak to him. And I think we need to approach God in prayer the same way. The most obvious prerequisite to seeing God at work in your lives is that you need to look. We need to look for supernatural circumstances that occur every day in the world around us. Not be blind and oblivious to the hand of God. We can't be the kinds of people whose minds are centered solely on fleshly and material things that we miss the obvious hand of God at work in our life. Look up, lift up your heart. God desires this close personal relationship with us. God doesn't want our relationship to be us reading a book that was read 2,000 years ago, saying, "Oh, that was a good reading," and then going home and doing our lawns and cleaning our house and moving on with our life. God wants us to be attuned to Him. He wants us to hear His voice and to respond back. God wants dialogue. God wants a relationship. Communication is the key to any successful relationship, and that's what God wants from us also. God wants this so much that He sacrificed His only Son to allow us this kind of access to Him. A major purpose of Jesus' death and resurrection was to tear that veil from the top to the bottom, giving us this immediate access into the presence of God. We're commanded to draw near to God. Look at that, Hebrews chapter 10. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. Turn with me if you take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 is where it starts. In the NIV, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain," that is His body, "and since we have a great priest over the house of God," verse 22, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." So even though what I'm talking about this morning seems a little bit unusual to a rational 21st century culture, I believe that this is demonstrated and described as being a central biblical teaching, a central biblical experience for us. So open up your mind when you pray and expect to hear back from God. And wait until you do. You will. And when you do, we come to step number 4. Keep a journal. Write out your prayers and write out God's answers. This provides a great new freedom in hearing God's voice. Remember what God told Habakkuk in verse 2? The Lord said, "Write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet." I'm not talking about keeping a diary. I'm simply talking about writing down examples of how God has spoken to you and what has become of it. The things you were praying for and the thoughts, the impressions, the feelings that came into your heart, how you acted upon them, and what became of it. You'll find this to be a great facilitator in clearly discerning God's inner spontaneous thoughts. As you look back over the years at what has happened to you, and when it happened, and most importantly, why it happened, you can see that it really wasn't some random spontaneous thought. But you can see that it was God directing you in a certain path. It's very difficult to see this while it's happening. It's much easier to look back. You know, hindsight is 20/20. And allows you to see what God was really doing with your life and with the life of your loved ones. So get comfortable and take a pen and paper and turn your attention to God in praise and worship, seeking His face. And as you write out your questions to God and become still, fixing your eyes on Jesus, you'll begin to have some good thoughts in response to your questions. And don't doubt them. Just simply write them down. And later on, as you read your journal, you can test it against Scripture at that point. Your heart is deceitfully wicked, and if you're not really sure if it's from God, here's some good questions to ask yourself. Number 1, does it agree with the whole teaching of the Bible? Because obviously, if something comes into your heart, if something comes into your mind, and it disagrees with any other part of the Bible, it's not from God. Don't start making things easier for yourself and thinking that it's what God wants from you. God wants you to follow His Word, His whole Word. Number 2, does it lead you into a closer relationship with God? That's our purpose. Not to serve ourselves, but to develop a greater love for God. A closer relationship with God. If what you think God is telling you takes you away from His ecclesia, and further away from Him, it's not God speaking. Number three, does it lead you into expressing love, which is putting God's benefit and the benefit of others before your own? Loving one another is what God wants most from us. Number four, does it lead to a greater manifestation of Christ's life in you? Are you becoming more Christ-like or less? Does it cause greater humility in you and greater dependence upon God? God's not looking for strong people who can win every battle. God's looking for faithful people who trust in God to fight the battle. So I hope you are able to hear the Word of God, to review, tune yourself in to spontaneity. Be still. Pray. And then keep a journal. In doing this, you will find what God really wants most from you. Dialogue, interaction, communication, a relationship. And you will find that you can build a relationship with God, and you can build a relationship with His Son, Jesus. You'll find that you can truly come to know the man that we're here to remember today. And knowing Him, you'll be able to hear His voice. That will help you to follow Him, because that's what Jesus says. In John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me."